Well, it is a Capital Call program on a Friday morning, and rather than joining our three legislative guests in the studio, they're still working, doing the people's business, and I'll start it off, I guess, saying good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for calling in from Oklahoma City.
Hey, Charlie, thank you for allowing us to do our show by phone. The three of us are here. It's a rainy Friday day here in Oklahoma City. But I want our constituents to know it has been a very, very busy week. The 10 years I've been here, again, we've never encountered a $1.3 billion hole, but, I mean, it's coming down to closure and wrapping up not only the budget but our final legislation. And it's been extremely busy, but, again, extremely interesting. The House and the Senate both has done a lot of work, put in a lot of proposals together, but quite frankly, when we brought them down to the finish line, members just, we were everywhere in regards to, do we want to vote for tax measures to help us with this funding hole? Well, at the end of the day, we didn't vote for anything to raise taxes thus far. However, we've done some tax reform, which what made us spend a late night Thursday night for Representative Dunlap and I. We started on the floor, I think, 10 o'clock, maybe 9 o'clock, and we didn't leave here last night till almost 1 o'clock in the morning. In fact, we had to suspend the rules, our rules, that allowed us to meet after midnight so we could finish up the debate. So it's been very interesting, but it's still extremely busy. Both chambers and the governor, we still all three have budgets. What I can report today is we're a lot closer of wrapping up a budget. It has nothing to do. It really is now down to where the Senate may want a particular percentage cut in an organization or flat. Likewise, the House may have a number that they want in a particular agency, and then the governor has a number that she may want, and that's where we are. We'll spend today, this weekend, hammering out those final details, and I just feel real comfortable that we'll have a budget the first of next week and wrap this thing up.
Okay, I know in your vote last night, that was with a 51-45 vote on that earned income tax credit, so apparently some strong feelings on both sides on that one.
Oh, absolutely. That's probably, again, what you saw last night. Well, I say what you saw, you didn't see it, but the people, we've had that on about four issues. That one just happened to be wee hours of the night. The cigarette tax went down. We had a gasoline tax. To my knowledge, I've never voted for a tax increase, but I voted for both of those because as the AB chairman, if we don't generate some revenue measures, it just, our budget can't have a soft landing. But our members have spoken. We'll go a different route. And one of those different routes was last night making a reform in the double exemption and the earned income. Tough votes for everybody, but it was a tax reform that, as far as I'm concerned, is long overdue, but it will definitely help us in our budget to the tune of about $116, $20 million.
Okay. Travis, what was your week besides as probably nearly as busy as Earl's?
Well, it was very full, as Earl has been referencing, so being part of the conversations and solutions that are going into play from all of the House members. And one of the things that is great about the shortfall, and I hesitate to phrase it that way, but people are willing to look at reforms and willing to look at ways of doing the budget that have never been done around this capital. And so one of those big differences is the input that especially Representative Sears has received on the budget from the beginning of the process. And so thankfully we're at a point now where we're able to get a lot done in these last couple of weeks, and members are pretty well informed about what the options are and what the In fact, I heard it said one of the problems might be that there are so many options that we've studied that people get to pick their favorite one or two, and since there are so many options, everybody picks a different one or two, and we don't hard to get a majority on any one of them. So, But we've been working on all of that, and in the meantime, I've had a couple of legislative efforts that have gone through committee. And so when they go through the conference committee process, it's there's any number of things that can happen to them. And so thankfully, you have a little bit more flexibility when working with language. And one of the things that I've made my dear, precious senator do this week was run it. Because we wanted to change one word in one of our bills, he had to run it through his conference committee on his side of the House two times, and he graciously did that and did it very expediently. So I am thankful for that, and that is now moving forward and still alive. And I kept telling people I wanted to get out of session early, and I did, and I do. But because I had several things go through the conference process, I still need the extra legislative days to get them all the way through. So even though I want to end early, I don't want to let those things die.
Okay. Well, I know you've got a deadline, and you will end by Friday of next week. But
we will.
It's somewhere along the line, there's still a lot of work to be done. If I'm reading between the lines correctly.
Well, the end is signed, and we can all see a pathway forward.
Okay, Senator Ford on the Senate side.
Charlie,
yes, sir.
This is my 12th year, and I have to admit, I don't think I've ever been called a dear, precious senator.
I was wondering about that, or if the House can make the senator do anything. But anyway,
I wanted him to know that I was appreciative for what he did.
Charlie, it's been an interesting year. At times it seems like you're doing everything at the same time, and other times it seems like nothing has happened. But I guarantee you there is lots going on behind the scenes constantly. I know we had caucuses yesterday and lots of discussion, and Earl talked about the House and the Senate, and the governor may have slightly different approaches. We all want to get to the same place. And, boy, we had some good discussions in Senate caucus on just reconfirming what our priorities are. But at the end of the day, we've got to do the right things for the citizen of Oklahoma, and I certainly believe we're moving in that direction. And, you know, Earl talked about the budget process, and that is absolutely the most critical thing. It's got to be done. Agencies have to have the ability to start planning and know what their income is going to be. Travis talked a little bit about policy, and there is still a lot of policy going on. Unfortunately, we start a lot of these issues early in the year, and with changes and iterations, a lot of times it does end up to the end. But a couple of things I just wanted to mention in education, because that's still where I spend the vast majority of our time. The governor signed the teacher and leader effectiveness bill. For the average person, that's really not a big issue, but I guarantee you for those in education, it is a big issue. We've eliminated some quantitative pieces that were really problematic for schools and expensive, and we've really turned this, it's an evaluation system for teachers and for principals. We've turned it into something that really is aimed at professional development, identifying where teachers need some additional help. And I think we have pretty much universal buy-in. So that is a very positive bill the governor assigned. Also, another issue that will have, I think, a big impact on Oklahomans and education is the end of instruction exam. That's something that causes a lot of, I think, extra preparation for a specific test. It has a lot of anguish. It is expensive, and it was one of the graduation requirements. We've an agreement. We've got a bill running through the process that I absolutely believe will make it, and it eliminates the end of instructions. It allows the State Department to determine what are the appropriate assessments that must be administered either by the federal government, and it allows the State Department to determine what the requirements for a graduation from high school is. It also allows the State Department, in addition to some of those assessments, if they want to administer something like the ACT to all students, and parents don't have to pay for it. We're trying to make sure that as students go through their educational cycle, we have assessments that help the teacher and the student know where they need additional help, and also prepare them that when they get out of high school, if they want to go to college, if they want to go to career tech, or if they want to go into the workforce, that they know the skills and the places they're going know the skills that those students have. So I'm very pleased with a lot of those improvements that we're getting. And so it's policy and it's fiscal, and we're working on all of it.
Well, I think, John, when at this time of year, particularly at graduation time, students are currently taking those exams, and I know when those reforms were put in a number of years ago, many people thought this would be a good thing to know that students were all meeting the same standard, but certainly a lot of kickback and a lot of problems as we started to implement that process.
That's true, Charlie. I think the theory was excellent, and as we got into it, we identified some of the issues. I think we're going to come out with something that by allowing all the students to take the ACT and some other standard tests, we're going to be able to identify which districts are really performing at high levels, which ones are not, and the ones that are not. You know, as a state, we can help those districts get better to serve their students. So I think we're going to have the best of what we were hoping to accomplish with EOIs and some more additional improvements for the districts, the parents, and the students.
Okay. Gentlemen, we still have about 2 or 3 minutes for untouched topics. I know there's other policy legislation, but as I understand things, you can't discuss or can't work on revenue-type measures in the final 5 days. So there was a story that came out yesterday saying that it is possible that you could be called to work on Saturday or Sunday. Anything that we know as of fairly early still on a Friday morning?
Well, let me take a shot at that that question and respond. I really, Charlie, I really believe that first of all, your statement is a correct statement. You cannot do a revenue measure the last 5 days, so everything you've just stated is a possibility. However, seeing and knowing what we did this week, I do not believe we will try to move any of those issues forward today and stay here on Saturday to try to move them forward. That's meaning raising taxes or a revenue avenue. I just don't believe that's going to happen. We couldn't get the gasoline tax out of the committee. I carried that bill in committee. It failed in committee. Failing in committee, there's no other avenue to bring it up. We fought the good fight on the floor to increase cigarette tax. That failed on the floor, the House floor, and I just don't think there is any political will to bring that back. So I just don't think we'll have to worry about that. What we got to worry about now, and here is, and we'll close on this, here is the big issue that all of our constituents and wherever this radio show goes, it comes down to is the bonding. What will we do on bonding? All three of us have a different number on bonding. That's what we got to hammer out. We will hammer that out, and the good people need to know, even though you've heard no leadership, we're rudderless down here and nobody's leading, nothing could be further from the truth. We've been working extremely hard, but it has come down to that. And, you know, you may say simply somebody, well, we ought to just go over and make that decision. Well, it's not that easy when you're dealing with X number of senators and X number of House members. Everybody's got an opinion. And what Travis just said a while ago, I know I would do nothing different in regards to how I've done this year in regards to keeping members informed. But we've kept the House members so informed. Travis has made a great point. So many people got so many choices. They can say, well, I like that one, and I'm going to stick with it. But now then we're to a point we've got to hammer it out, and the hammering out is the bonding. Once we make that decision and drop that number into our budgets, I want everybody to know we will have a very, very good budget. Government will not be crashed. Core services will move forward and will function, and I think people will be very pleased with I didn't say happy, but I think they'll be pleased with a $1.3 billion hole is that we landed quite softly and not crashing government, and that has been important to both chambers. And I'm just confident we can get there. So, Charlie, we're wrapping it up. We'll all come home today. We might see you over the weekend, but I know we'll be, if we're in session, I know we'll see you next. We'll probably be here, so we'll have to do the radio show again. So thank you all very, very much. If you have any questions and concerns, don't hesitate to call us. Other than that, thank you, Phillip 66, and we'll see you next Friday.